Welcome back to God Invention Radio, presented by Inventor's Digest. And now, here's your host, Brian Free.
Okay, welcome back to segment three of God Invention Radio. SurveyMonkey, Dr. Phil Garland, and Brent Chaduba from SurveyMonkey again. All right, so I ended off the last segment there with a quick question. I was saying that, you know, by now, people who I show a product to at the start of even a prototype stage, they say, Brian, your idea stinks, or your idea is real good, and I ask them questions. How much would you pay for it? What do you think? What if I did it like this? What if I had it multifunctioning where I added some extra features to it? And they kind of tell me straight out to my face, but now if I ended up doing an online survey, what are the odds of them telling me like it is? Maybe because it's anonymous or they're not doing it to my face? I'm not sure. What do you think?
So anonymity is definitely a key factor in getting good, truthful answers from folks. But by and large, you're not asking people if they cheat on their taxes, so there isn't a huge incentive to be dishonest. They might not want to hurt your feelings. But in that case, the goal, as I started to describe in the previous segment, is to reduce the bias that you introduce to their answers. So you don't want to write the questions in a way that's going to push people around. So you want to give them the space and freedom to express their attitudes or beliefs or behaviors fully. And
okay, so I shouldn't ask the question.
The best thing we can do.
Go ahead. No, I was saying, so you shouldn't ask the question. So you like my idea, right?
Exactly. And those agree-disagree response options amount to that phenomenon, essentially. So,
okay.
Yeah, because you write a leading statement, you know, I want a coffee maker in the office. Agree? Oh, yeah, I guess. Can hurt, right? But, you know, would you like a coffee maker or not? And giving people a chance to say maybe some other items that they like or how much they want a coffee maker or how much they don't. Save the money to do something else with. So, in general, we don't want to push people around. And the way to do that is to ask what we call balanced, construct-specific questions. So let's take the statement. I want a coffee maker in the office. Instead, if we can just reform that to be, how interested are you in having a coffee maker, right? So that ranges on a scale from the most interest a person could have in something to no interest at all. Hmm. And so that gives people the full spectrum of attitudes toward coffee makers that exist in the universe. And so now they're free to say what they feel, and we haven't pushed them around any.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, even different companies that I work with to getting my products out, they end up sending me a vendor questionnaire. And I'm so nervous about answering them sometimes because I'm going, oh, no. What if they know? You know, I want to really tell how I feel, but what if it gets in the wrong hands or they, you know, somebody gets upset at one of my answers? So how do people avoid that?
Well, in the system, unless you've asked a specific question about your name or some other identifying information, the responses are virtually indistinguishable from one another. So our system, and Brent can speak to this, is equipped to allow people that privacy and anonymity.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of a lot of different ways. If you're going to ask someone their name at the beginning of a survey, well, then, of course, that's going to be an identifiable survey. But we have a lot of different features because people want their potential respondents to know that this information isn't, we're not trying to see who you are if you answered this, unless we want to find out more information. If you've got a criticism about our product, we might want to talk to you more because we might want to fix it and get another level of detail. But there's a lot of anonymizing functions in the product. And, you know, some of the ways that people do research on SurveyMonkey using our audience product that lets people survey a random group of people, there's no identifiable information passed back. So it is kind of there's a lot of different ways to do that and tools and features and functions inside most survey tools that allow you to do that.
Okay. I want to spend a little time, if you don't mind, on your website because I think it's a tremendous tool for inventors especially. So we have this product. We want to ask the questions, and you've helped us with understanding how to ask the questions and what type of questions. You also have a question bank on SurveyMonkey. I believe there was about 1,500 questions in different categories. Maybe, Brent, if you can touch on that.
Sure, and I'll let Phil jump in to kind of explain how we built some of those things. But
okay.
Essentially, one of the ways that we realized we could help survey creators, be it teachers, inventors, students, anything, is to provide them with some great questions to get them started. Now, creating any question in a survey can be really daunting, but if we provide, if someone wanted to do a product concept testing survey, and they said, what kind of things do people typically ask for this? I want to ask them in the right way to make sure that my data is useful. Well, you know, we might want to surface, here's the most popular topics. When someone's doing a survey on a new product that they're building and they want to get feedback from potential customers, here's what the big groups of people, all the people that use SurveyMonkey, here's the types of things they ask. And so what we built was a way in our tool that you can go search sort of a library of questions. And as you start, even as you start typing in a new question, we'll start to show you the most popular questions that sound like that question.
Oh, that's
so you
great.
Can pick that. And we have a lot of templates that people can use and things like that. And it would probably help for Phil to explain sort of how we built that and how we sort of button it up for people to make sure that the way they ask the question's right as well.
Good, because I'd be nervous about trying to set up my own survey and making sure I ask the right question. So, Phil, you guys have actually templates for, let's say, a new product that we want to do? You have all the questions already there for us?
Yeah, we have 14 categories and counting. One of them happens to be customer satisfaction, so we haven't quite rounded the corner on testing new inventions as the category, but certainly that data and those questions are available in the system. We just have to do the work to figure out what the right questions are. And to date, the way we've done that is to sort of use a crowdsourcing approach, which is to say that, you know, of the 9 million registered users that ask questions through our system each year, could we analyze the content of those questions to determine what most people are asking? And it turns out that even for a big, healthy category like education and parent surveys, that all the teachers and parents are essentially asking teachers and principals are asking their parents the same questions. So while we might have, you know, millions of parent surveys each year, there's really only about 150 mutually exclusive topics that people are asking. So it's not like schools have different problems, right? They're asking the same thing. So with that sort of analysis at hand for the various categories that we have, we start to feel very confident about the fact that we've covered a lot of ground in terms of what people want to know in those industries, areas, categories, businesses, organizations, and so forth.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
From there, we take the categories, and then we apply the principles of questionnaire design that we have been discussing so far, and we actually write the questions and response options for people in the most methodologically sound way, which is to say all the response options have verbal labels, and they either have 5 or 7 scale points depending on the type of question. And that methodology is, you know, based on the past 30, 40 years of, you know, questionnaire design research. Mm-hmm. And so it's very painless. You sort of go into the question bank, choose the questions you like. You can make a few modifications here and there that don't change the integrity of the question, and off you go. And the question bank product is available in all of our packages, free to paid.
Okay. So how many questions typically does a survey include?
So from the business intelligence side, this is definitely something we look at a lot. The range is anywhere from 1 to thousands of questions. But I think in our surveys, when we look at averages for our paying users, it's about 12 to 14 questions. Most surveys are that length.
Okay.
There's a lot mixed in there of very short, like, are you coming to the event tonight? And then there's the very long research questions. But a lot of times we see the shorter the better in some of these. So asking extraneous questions can complicate the data analysis and burn out, you know, survey takers and things like that. But that's sort of what we see is people keeping it kind of in the 10 to 15 question range.
When I was doing that survey with all those kids, I almost felt like, you know, I had clusters of friends and I separated them and, you know, they filled out about 40 questions, and it seemed like they started to get antsy towards the end. It seemed like a lot, but they were incentivized for that $10 gift card. I'm wondering if they really answered the questions properly. I mean, my project ended up launching successfully, and they did help me. I felt like it, but who knows, you know, the validity of that and just how many questions. I saw that they were getting tired after a certain amount of time. They were just checking whatever.
We've found in our research, which is actually posted on our blog from Brent's team, that around 8 minutes people start to get fatigued and lose interest in taking the survey. So 8 to 12 minutes is kind of the sweet spot for how many questions, and people typically answer, depending on literacy levels, you know, 4 to 5 questions a minute. So, you know, the math on that is about a 50 question max.
Okay. I know that there's companies out there that do focus groups. Is focus groups and surveys the same type of thing? We have about a minute left.
They're sort of bedfellows, right? You want to get information from people. The major difference, of course, is, you know, a focus group is a small subset of people, you know, 10 to 20 people that give you really in-depth explanations for what they think, believe, and do, whereas survey affords, again, like I mentioned at the top of the show, that representativity in many cases if there's random selection from a population. So I would say survey gives you aggregate valid data, whereas focus groups give you deep dive and qualitative information that you can then use to explore your own invention or project or idea.
Okay, that's great. In the next segment, I'd like to discuss measuring the results of the survey. And I'd like to also talk about your product, the audience participation. I thought that was very interesting. And maybe you could share some of the costs, because I have some questions of how much the products cost. So we'll be back with Phil and Brent from SurveyMonkey on Got Invention Radio on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. Give us a call live, 888-327-0061.
High cholesterol is a ticking time bomb. Statistically, you or a family member needs to lower their cholesterol today. Besides diet and exercise, the best answer is Carderol, an all-natural dietary supplement that combines 9 natural ingredients proven to lower cholesterol levels in just 30 days. Carderol is the complete solution. Visit Carderol.net to learn more and start your risk-free 30-day trial. Carderol is guaranteed to lower your cholesterol or your money back. That's Carderol.net, CARDIOL.net, CARDIOL.net.
Okay, you admit to yourself that you have a huge credit card problem. However you got there, you've racked up $10,000, $20,000, or more in debt, and it mounts up daily, right? I don't need to tell you what your credit card statements look like, but I'm here to give you some help. All you need to do is make one quick, no-obligation call to the Debt Solutions Network, and one of our partner companies will help you with proven strategies to help you get out of debt. They can reduce your debt, in some cases up to 50%, and help stop the collection calls. If you're buried in credit card debt, call the Debt Solutions Networks now and learn for free how they can help you get out of debt for much less than you owe. Here's the number.
800-814-5188. 800-814-5188. Learn how you can get out of credit card debt now. Call now for a free debt analysis. 800-814-5188. 800-814-5188.
Thank you for listening to WS Radio. If you are not listening on your smartphone, WS Radio and our friends at MentorMate have just made it a lot easier with our new WS Radio 2.0 iPhone, BlackBerry, and Android apps. Just search for WS Radio in the iPhone store, BlackBerry, or Android market. There are all free downloads so you can listen live or on demand to your favorite show. These new apps work on most iPhones and for the newer BlackBerry and Androids. After you check them out and see how well they work, pay a little visit to our preferred app developer, MentorMate. They have been programming mobile applications for over 10 years now and are one of the few companies that handle all three major smartphones. The world is going mobile, and that is where your company should be. To learn more about MentorMate and our new WS Radio 2.0 phone apps, log on to wsradio.com/mobile. That is wsradio.com/mobile.
Save your cash while increasing your sales. Every business knows cash is king. Quit paying out your cash while maintaining all the services you need. At the same time, increase sales with new customers. Sound too good to be true? It's not. WS Radio has done it using traditional business practices. We will even give you $250 in services just to give it a try. Log on to wsradio.com/barter. That's WSRadio.com/barter.